Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to Camp Out Church with GFCC. It is such a pleasure to speak in front of you. I've brought some calls to worship and different things in the past, but I'm excited to have been asked to bring a message. And Steve Linden told me that I should stand over here, and the sequel to the Sermon on the Mount will be the Sermon on the Mound. But my notes are way over here, so we'll get the Sermon on the Slight Decline instead. If I appear to be listing this way, it's only because the ground is listing that way. So, my message sermon, we'll just call it a sermon because that's easy, this morning is, the title I came up with originally was Cornerstones, because my theme really is, there are things that have come across my bow in my life that have just really impacted me of like, oh, that's a true, full thing that I want to latch on to and let that carry me forward in my walk with God. But as I was looking into that, I was like, well, cornerstones is a little bit too strong. Because we know that Christ is our cornerstone, the stone that was rejected and the stone that became our foundation, our solid ground that we stand upon. And so I was thinking about, well, maybe not something quite so fixed, because God is not a God that lives in houses. God is a God that is all around us, all the time, everywhere, stronger than the force. And so I just kind of came up with, well, not cornerstones. Well, what about tent poles then? And then he's just like, perfect for camp. I was like, I didn't even think about that. But yeah, it works. So my sermon is titled Tent Poles. And these are things that I have been meditating upon as I seek to fix my heart upon God and upon the things to do with God. When I was going through life a little over a year ago, I was really focused on what my job was and what I was doing in my life and how I was married to Anisha and there were places where we were and things we were doing. And I just kept always feeling unsettled in myself of where am I? Where am I going? What am I doing? Am I being successful? Am I doing the best that I can do with my life? And that was always something that I found unsettling. It was this lingering question of, am I doing the best I can? Am I doing everything that I should be doing? Am I doing everything that God wants me to do? And so this was something that was just, in a way, coinciding with different discontentment in my work situation at the time and different things in life that I felt like should be a certain way or should be a different way. And as God does, he worked in a moment when Anisha and I went up to Seattle to visit her sister and my brother-in-law. And when we go to visit them, often we go to their church, Canyon Hills Church near Seattle. And the pastor speaking is not their primary pastor. He's more of a worship leader and occasional fill-in pastor. His name is Kobe Orr. And his sermon that he was bringing was on this idea of success. And so the statement that he said that was sort of his thesis statement for his sermon that I just took hold of and it really just went straight into my heart was that success for the Christian is faithfully following the Lord one day at a time, period. And I went, oh, so none of the rest of that stuff matters. That's what matters, is following God each and every day. And very shortly after that, it was Camp Out weekend of last year, and Jerry Jones brought a sermon on Psalm 16, and that spoke into my heart deeply. That psalm is all about just living in the richness of God and how we can rest assured in that richness of God forever. I wrote down just the closing verse of that psalm. Is verse 11. It's not a very long psalm, but it impacts me very much. It says, and I took most of my message quotes that I have actual sermon notes from the New Living Translation. I just feel like there's a way that, as I've dabbled with it more, the way that there isn't this membrane of archaic wording that I need to sift through to really understand the meaning. It just comes into my heart really with the modern language and with a modern tongue that I find really edifying and really easy to suddenly go, oh, I see, I understand. And verse 11 from the New Living Translation reads, "You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." So when we are faithfully following God each and every day, that is our promise. That is what we are striving after. And another quote from that sermon. My entire sermon isn't going to be completely stolen, Jerry, I promise. But C.S. Lewis, he said that he who has God and everything else has no more than he who has God only. And that was a comfort to me in comparing myself to other people. And am I successful? Am I as successful as this person or that person? And is that none of that matters. I could have nothing. I could be destitute. I could be in a desert, alone, by myself, but I would not be alone. I would have God, and I would be as rich and as full as any man anywhere who has the largest castle on the highest hill overlooking the biggest lake with the largest yacht. We would be the same in the eyes of God, as long as we were both believers and both following after him. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says, "Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." And we can accomplish our following after God and accomplish that success through the work that he has already done within us. It is not our own work each and every day that allows us to have that Christ-like success. That has already been taken care of. We just need to be faithful. The second statement that impacted me fairly recently, too, in contemplating similar situation, just life circumstances and life contentments and wanting to feel like how am I growing? Where am I flexing? Where am I bending? Where am I getting too comfortable? And what should I be doing next? Like, am I waiting for direction? Am I waiting for a word? Like, what do I do next? And a book that was very highly recommended to me by a father-in-law, Galen Miller, is the book Just Do Something by Kevin DeYoung. If you have not read it, I highly, highly, highly recommend it. I got the audiobook on my library app, and I was twisting nuts and bolts at work, and I just listened to the whole book, listened to it through, and I started it over again, and I just listened through it a second time. And the statement in that book that really struck me is that a lot of us can really, really struggle with wanting to know most of the time out of an earnest desire that we want to please God. We want to do what he wants us to do. The statement that isn't on my list is stay flexible. So, we want to be faithful servants. We want to do, like, what does God want for me? What is God's will for my life? What do I do to please God? How do I make decisions knowing that I'm doing the right thing that God wants me to do? And in the book, there's so much material I cannot possibly cover in this message. I don't have the time, but I'll try to cover just the smallest piece that was the most impactful to me, which is a statement that it's not a mystery. Like, I can tell you right here today, like all of you, each and every one of you, I can tell you exactly your personal, in the center of God's will, what his will is for your life. And this isn't card reading. I'm not going to take your name and hold it against my temple and discern. I'm not going to shake the bones and do a reading of the dirt or anything like that. I will take you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. It's really in verse 3, but I like the context that it starts off with, verse 1.
Paul says, "Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God, as we have taught you. You live in this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more. For you remember what we taught you by the authority of the Lord Jesus." And here's the statement. God's will is for you to be holy. That's it. God's will for your life is your sanctification. And the verse goes on and it talks about different sins that Paul is advising the people in that place at that time to avoid, specifically issues that were probably specific to that people at that time. But sanctification is a big word. And I liked how the New Living said, for you to be holy, because sanctification, I defined it here, not my definition, I wrote it down, is to set apart for sacred use or to consecrate, to make holy and purify. What consecrate means is to declare or set apart as sacred. So God's will for our lives is for us to be set apart for his own sacred use, for us to be consecrated, made holy and purified. And we all know what that looks like because we saw a picture of Christ painted for us in the scriptures. So God's will for each of us in our lives, it will look different for everyone. It is to become Christ-like. We faithfully follow the Lord one day at a time. And by faithfully following the Lord, each and every day we become more like Christ. That is his will for our lives. And that is how we succeed at his will. I have more on that, but I don't know if I want to go into too many details. There's a lot of detail. And the more that I looked at it yesterday, the more I realized all I'd really end up doing is reading the book to you up here at the mic, and I don't think I want to do that. So I just highly encourage you to read the book. I have sections I've highlighted, and please feel free to come talk to me about it. If you have questions, we'll be here for a little bit longer today, or you can find me at church probably, and maybe we'll do a book study someday. Who knows? But that I just found incredibly impactful because it just cuts through all the noise, and it leaves no question. And last thing I'll say on that, just a quote from the author. Just expands that idea just a little bit more. This is Kevin DeYoung, the author. "The most important decision we face is the daily decision to live for Christ and die for self, die to self." So as we faithfully follow God every day, we're pursuing his will for our lives, our sanctification. That comes at the cost of we put our own desires and our own needs and our own wants to the side, and we focus instead on how do I become more like Christ in this moment? How do I live out this adventure the way Christ would? Every decision, big and small, do I go to Mongolia? Do I buy this house or this house? Go to Mongolia if it will make you holy. Buy that house if that's the one that will make you holy. Take that trip, take that vacation, take that day off. Work in this place if it will make you holy. My third point, something that I came across in, it was actually in a, just a little blip on the internet. And, it stuck out to me just because it was phrased in a way I never really heard it quite done before. But it has to do with, as we are faithfully following God, how do we continue to put aside like the old self? How do we continue to put aside the old habits and the old things that are still temptations in our lives? How do we continue to attain Christhood and let go of past sins and current sinfulness? And the statement, which I've altered a little bit just so that I could hopefully make it more clear without making it too long, is that the ultimate goal, our goal, in our constant struggle against our own sinful nature, it is not to sin less. We're not focusing on sinning less. It is to love God so much that our desire to sin becomes less. Let me say that one more time. Don't focus on sinning less. Focus on loving God so much that your desire to sin becomes less. So where is your focus? We can see, and there's more scripture to be found, but just from 1 Thessalonians, Paul says our God's will for us is to be holy. Where is your focus on that journey? What are you looking toward, and what are you spending your time on? Our time is like a magnifying glass. If we actually examine our schedule, like I could pull up my calendar with all our different appointments and the trips we're planning and the time I'm spending at work, where are you spending your time? What are you doing when you have off time? What are your hobbies? What motivates you to get up and go to work in the morning? When we choose to spend our time to focus on Christ and focus on loving Him, ultimately that will continue to move us further and further away from that sinful desire, as further away from the east is from the west, it says in the scriptures. I'm not thinking about this if I'm all the way over here. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, Paul writes, "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth." And then from an earlier chapter, but I kind of liked how those two flowed together, from Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 through 23, "You have died with Christ, and He has set you free from the spiritual powers of the world. So why do you keep following the rules of the world? Such as, don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline. But they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. So instead, we don't focus on the don't do that, don't do this, stop that, I don't do that, I'm better than the other guy. Cultivate relationship with Christ. That seed's been planted in our hearts. Give that the food that it needs. Give that the water that it needs. Give that the time that it needs. There's a, as I'm taking all these things in, and as I'm trying to not just think about them, but just let these things soak into my life and let these things drive me forward, not to just see them nod and move on, but see them be challenged and lean into them. Most of the reason why these things came to me as things that I wanted to share is that I can think of these things and I can ponder the question like, well, what if I had known this before? Like, what if I had just known this like 10 years ago? What if I'd known this 5 days ago? And I know that attitude can quickly lean into regret. That can lean into like, oh, like woe is me. I wasn't in a place then that I am now. Oh, I could have been so much further ahead. That's flesh talk. That's the world's version of success. I am closer to Christ now than I was yesterday. I'm winning. But I wanted to share this because I don't know where any of you are. I know you're all fellow believers. Anybody could be at any point in your walk with God. But I didn't want you to go another day without at least seeing these things that have challenged me and helped me to in my own opinion of myself, become a better man. Because each and every day, if I knew back then what I know right now, I'd be better than I've ever been. And I want everybody here to be better than you have ever been in your lives, each and every day, just because you're being challenged by each other, and you're being challenged by the Spirit, and you're being challenged by Scripture to focus on God. So I'm so thankful for all of you. I don't think I would be where I am, and I don't think I would be as challenged as I am if I wasn't living with this body of believers and just being so encouraged and welcomed. And it's been a wonderful journey, and I'm excited for the years to come and for all the familiar faces and the unfamiliar faces that I'll get to know more. But these are the things that have been on my heart, and I wanted to share them with you this morning. Let me close this message with a little bit of prayer that I believe Steve Linden will come up to guide us toward communion. Father God, thank you for your Son. Thank you for Christ who came and interposed himself. Thank you for the work that has already been done within us so no man can boast. Thank you for that eternal comfort and glory we can lean on. Thank you for loving us in our darkest day just as much as you love us in our brightest day. I pray for everyone here, and I pray for myself. I pray that you would guide us to sanctification. I pray that you would help us to be holy. Help us to choose to be holy each and every day. Help us make every decision knowing that the right decision is the one that leads to you, that leads to us being more holy and more like you. Help us to live each day faithfully following after you. Help us to focus so much on you and love you so much that our desire for sin and our desire for the world fades and fades and fades away. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for this beautiful weekend and for all the camping we've been doing and the fellowship. I pray that you would bless all here and bless the rest of our day and the rest of our week ahead of us. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen.